listening to The Cooler Ring, a podcast made for manufacturing marketers. Here are Carmen Perry and Jeff White.
Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White. Joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
I am happy to be here as normal.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a sunny Friday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Hard things for much more.
And, a sunny Friday and a good opportunity for a really interesting marketing conversation. I just find today's show, there's, you know, not every manufacturing marketer is going to encounter this opportunity / challenge. So it's a rare insight in some ways into it. And but for those that maybe do, I think this will also be an interesting kind of learning. So I just think it's a fascinating story. I'm looking forward to getting into it without giving up too many details.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much because it really is a phenomenal and interesting marketing case study, to be certain. And it continues to unfold. So
yeah, but I suppose we have to say something because it is a podcast. I mean, we can't,
yes.
Yeah, we can't not say anything.
Right.
Right.
Well, why don't we just introduce our guest and get right into it? All right. So joining us today is Andy Jensen. Andy is the Director of Marketing at Sunstone Engineering. Welcome to the Cooler Ring, Andy.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Andy, it's awesome to have you on the show. I want to start by introducing our listeners to you and Sunstone. So, you know, you can do that in whichever order you like. Tell us about the company and how you ended up there, or tell us about you and then the company after, whichever you like.
Sure. Sunstone is a manufacturer of specialized welding equipment. That sounds really boring when I say it that way, but it's actually very exciting because we manufacture welders, and we don't manufacture welders that you would see like at a ship manufacturing, you know, all these sparks going up and everything. Our home is micro welding. So our spot welds are 0.1 to maybe 3 millimeters in diameter. So we're really, 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 really small. And that lends our equipment to be used in the manufacturing of aerospace and electronics, computers, automotive, batteries, and jewelry manufacturing. So, you know, it's kind of exciting. Look, you know, we sell to all the big names in aerospace, which I'm not supposed to name, but you know, we sell that every time something gets launched into space, we clap our hands and go, I think we had something to do with that. We have no idea what we did with that, but yay, that's pretty cool. So that's what we do. I got to Sunstone about 4 years ago. My neighbor actually is the CEO. So I've known him for years and years and years, and I had just finished a startup and that startup was sold. That was a 9-year overnight success, really successful. And so I was looking for my next gig, and I just heard my neighbor a little bit, you know, frustrated with what was going on in his marketing team. And I just looked at him and said, well, I can do that. And then here I am. So I've been here 4 years.
Yeah, for those job hunters out there, having the right address helps, I suppose, you know. Yeah, you mentioned the launching into space. It's an ongoing kind of funny anecdote from the podcast that we had somebody on the show that had the company had made something that was launched into space, but they forgot to take a photo of it, this one-off thing before it was launched.
Before it left.
And it's like, you can't, there's no do-overs there, right?
Like the greatest regret. Yeah, it's...
Andy, you kind of hinted at this kind of unique, if you will, kind of pivot that happened to Sunstone. And so I want you to take our listeners through that. What happened one day to kind of reveal to you that there might be something new out there?
So a little bit of background information, maybe. Our customers are engineers, for the most part, are engineers, 90 some not something percent men, just that's the way it is. And then on the jewelry side, we do sell to, bench jewelers and jewelry manufacturers. So there's more women on that side, but mostly we're a male dominated industry. So our corporate colors, you know, is a bright, lively orange. If you go down, most of the people here were men. And that's the way it was. We sell both direct and through dealers. So one day, one of our dealers places an order for 300 of our smaller pulse arc welders. This is a small pulse arc welder. You know, it has, I think, you know, the max energy it can produce is 30 joules. And it's used mainly by hobbyists and jewelers for minor repair work. It's not, a, you know, we sold, I don't know, 3 to 10 a month maybe. But this, anyway, this dealer calls in, he goes, I need 300 of that particular model. It's called the Orion Impulse. And, well, he didn't call in, he just, you know, emailed, I need 300 of these. And of course, the dealer representative said, well, that's gotta be a typo. Maybe he means 30, but not 300. So he calls back and goes, you know, is this right? Go, yeah, we need 300 of those. We didn't have 300 of those. We had maybe, you know, 5 or 10 on the shelf ready to be pulled. And so we really had to scramble to figure out how are we going to build 300 of these, because he needed them immediately. But the bigger question was, why? Why does he want 300 of these? And so we started asking him, and he's a little guarded about what's going on, which I understand. But it came down to, he says, well, it's this whole permanent jewelry craze. Like, what's permanent jewelry? And the first thing that came to my mind was piercings. Are we throwing chain now through the nose? I don't, you know, what are we doing? Yeah, but anyway, permanent jewelry is where you take a fine chain and you put it around your wrist like any other bracelet. But instead of using a clasp, you're closing that chain permanently with what's called a jump ring. And that jump ring is welded shut. And it just so happens that the best tool to close that jump ring was our little Orion Impulse. So this craze is taking off, and people are starting to get permanent jewelry all over the place, and they want it. And people are beginning to realize that, hey, I can start being a permanent jewelry artist, and I can sell a bracelet that cost me maybe $10, and I can sell it for $80. So there's a big margin in there. And so this took off. It wasn't long after that he placed that order for 300 that one of our other dealers called in and wanted 100. And another dealer called in and said, I need this. And suddenly the phones start to light up. And we're scrambling to meet demand. And demand from a market that we had no understanding of. These are not men who are calling in who want to start up a permanent jewelry business. Rather, these are estheticians, beauty salon owners who are wanting to get into the business because their clientele is the same clientele that will want to have a permanent bracelet or permanent anklet. So that's, we were scrambling to make all that work and trying to understand who this market is.
What's the Orion Impulse worth?
Well, it's worth a lot.
Yeah.
It sells around $2,400.
Wow.
And you had mentioned before that you were doing work with, you knew that you had a kind of a jewelry vertical, if you will, before. It was more in kind of niche repair and probably wasn't much of a focus at all when you talked about the, like, you know, do we focus on jewelers or do we focus on aerospace? You probably put a little more energy on aerospace.
Actually, yeah, aerospace has always been, it's intermittent for us because of all the dynamics behind your aerospace engineers. But jewelry has always been a very steady market industry for us. And we do very well because we have other welder models that both pulse arc and laser technology that really help jewelers build, repair, tack jewelry. But these are bench jewelers. These are people who are building rings, bracelets, pendants, those types of things.
Completely different persona. Yeah.
Yeah. The persona is a mix of men and women who are goldsmiths, metalsmiths, silversmiths. And traditionally, they look at I think some of them still do. They look at permanent jewelry and just, you know, poo-poo it. Like, well, that's not jewelry. That's not art.
More akin to a tattoo than a, you know, than a high-end bracelet or something.
Yeah, and you can argue that their clientele, the person walking into that retail jewelry shop, is not looking for permanent jewelry. They're looking for a wedding band. They're looking for something to celebrate an anniversary or whatever. So it's not really their clientele. So we were, yeah, we have a really good relationship with the jewelry industry. So it's a great, it makes up a lot of our revenue. But this new permanent jewelry thing, the people that we're selling to are 95%, 98% women between the ages of 25 and 45, who are entrepreneurs for the most part. They're looking for, they either own a business right now because they are salon owners, or they're looking for a side hustle to bring in a couple extra dollars for the household or for themselves. And we didn't know anything about them. So suddenly our orange logo and our orange look just does not fly with this market really well. And the tagline under our logo says the micro welding experts. That, you know, these women don't know what micro welding means. So we had to change all that. But it took us time to understand that. We were so busy trying to keep up with orders. I mean, we had 300 the first month, 300 the next month, 400, 500. And we had to scramble to increase our production, right? And we live in a smaller town, about an hour south of Salt Lake City. And finding labor is a little bit more difficult. Utah's unemployment rate is at an all-time low in addition to that. So that created even more problems. You had the trailing difficulties of the pandemic as well, you know, threw a wrench into everything. So we're scrambling to meet production. We went from an 8-hour day to a swing shift type thing. People coming in at 6 and then the shift not ending till 7 or 8 at night. But we did really well in meeting that demand. And then we saw other opportunities. We realized that there was competition out there. There's a welder that's built overseas that was designed about 10 or 15 years ago to be a dental lab welder, to help dental labs make repairs to pontics and dentures. So people were now turning to that welder because it's really cheap, but it's also, it's not very safe. I don't know if there's any NRTL safety on that welder. There could be, but you know, there's no manufacturer name on the welder and it's just being picked up by whomever and they're selling on Amazon and there's no or little customer service to it. And trying to get it to work for closing a small jump ring takes some work. But nonetheless, if there is a cheaper option out there, people are going to go for that. So we realized that we needed to come up with a different option to the Orion Impulse, something that's a little bit more budget friendly. And so we went to work and quickly put together a new welder in record time. It was amazing what our engineers were doing to figure out how to create something that was budget and quickly and how we could get that to market. So while they were working to get that new model ready, we were scrambling on the marketing side to come up with a new name, come up with a whole look and feel for this new welder and roll it out to the market.
So talk to us about that. Did you kind of, have you created a bit of, because you said that, well, our look and feel doesn't really appeal to this new market, but it did appeal to some other pretty important customers, one assumes. Did you just change? Have you kind of done a bit more of a house of brand strategy? What has been your approach?
Well, we first started with the look and feel of the welder. I mean, the Impulse has a black case and it's about the size of, I don't know, it's 6x6x4. And it's, you know, a typical industrial black case with a digital touchscreen on the front that's orange. So you have this orange-black look that isn't really, I mean, it's my high school colors. I'm very proud of it, I have to say. But for women, who want to have a very cute pop-up, they're going to farmer's markets, they're going to other events, and they're popping up a table, and they're doing permanent jewelry, that they'll usually put some type of doily or covering over that welder to make it to soften things up. To it's more their aesthetic and their look and feel for them. So we first started with, okay, black's not going to cut it, guys. That's not what people want. So we did some market research, some quote unquote market research, to figure out what color would be best. And we settled on an opalescence pearl type finish for that welder. And, you know, it looks nice. You put it in the sun, it twinkles here and there, and it looks like crushed pearls, and everyone's happy. And then we had to get rid of the...
I apologize for interrupting, but it's just so fascinating because, you know, your traditional audience for these welders, like you said, is going to be engineers. It's probably in a lab or a factory somewhere as part of a process. And now it's part of a performative, audience pleasing, interesting thing at a farmer's market in front of all your friends when you're getting this thing installed on your wrist, perhaps. You've never had to think, you know, the industrial design, as you say, changes, you know, and the colors, the easy thing to do. But are you thinking even further about that, about how to kind of make it as much kind of the focal point of the entrepreneur's, you know, product?
Well, yeah. There was a couple things. There are still a lot of balls in the air. Is we were rushing to meet all this demand, rushing to offer this new clientele the things that they're looking for, which are specialized grounded pliers, tools to help them keep the electrode sharp. You can't, with this market, we had to make it very easy for them to take out the electrode on that welder and sharpen it. I mean, if you were an engineer or whatever, taking out an electrode and sharpening it with a Dremel is no big deal. But for this market, it has to be easy and simple. So we had to design something that would help them sharpen that electrode quickly and easily and correctly at the same time. So we're coming out with all of these accessories and tools to support the permanent jewelry market. And at the same time, knowing that we had to come out with a different welder that would be more on a budget-friendly side. And we also coming out with chain. People were asking us, or buying the welder, and saying, well, now do you guys sell chain? And went, no, but yeah, sure. So we're rushing to find chain. And people are buying chain from us because they're going, well, they're the micro-welding experts, they're the welders. I would assume that if we buy chain from them, we know this chain is going to be high quality and it's actually going to weld. Whereas if you buy something off Etsy or Amazon, you're not exactly sure what's inside that chain. It could be junk metal underneath a really thin plating. So we had all that going on. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this, our brand is not right. We're not soft. We're not friendly. We're not all the pinks and peach fuzzes that we need to be. I knew that in the back of my mind, and we had to get there. But before I could get there to make those changes, one day I'm on Facebook on one of these groups for permanent jewelry, and I note that my CEO is making conversations, posting things, and everyone's really excited. Like, oh, this is awesome! I made $5,000 over the weekend at a farmer's market, and someone else did this, and someone else. Everyone's excited, and my CEO goes, "Hey, we should have a meeting." And instantly my heart rate went up and my blood pressure shot up. And she goes, yeah, we should have a meeting. And he sends me, no, hey, Andy, let's organize and have this this expo for permanent jewelry. And, it was a lot of work. But honestly, event management, event marketing is probably one of my more favorite things to do. So I said yes. And the next thing I know, I'm on a plane down to Las Vegas and talking to Caesar's Palace. And they gave us a sweet deal. I mean, we were like 6 months away from when we were going to do this. 6 months. And Caesar's Palace made us a wonderful offer. We had to agree to, give away our first 5 kids and sign away in blood and all that type of stuff. If you've ever done that, you know what I mean. But then I'm off and running to get this expo going. And it was a grand success. We had 12, 14 instructors and 20 some odd different courses. And we had, I was able to get 12 sponsors to actually come and help sponsor the event. We had Cody Sanchez, you may know her. She's a big influencer in entrepreneurship for women. Came and spoke as our guest speaker. And we had just over 500 people come to that meeting. It was a great success. But in the back of my mind, I'm still thinking, we're not in sync with this market. We're not. People are coming to us because we have the only decent real solution for closing a jump ring. That's why they're coming to us. They're not coming to us because we appeal to them. Does that make sense? So we had to change that because we also knew that it wouldn't be long before someone else jumps in this market and starts offering a competitive product and who might actually be women who know what they're talking about. So yeah, that was, I knew that was coming. And spring of 2023, you know, our first competitor showed up.
Well, now you know you have a market. What's a competitor?
Yeah, that is the one upside, although it's nice to be the only one swimming in the pool for a while. What a fascinating story. I wonder, Andy, did you feel like at any point in this that the company was struggling to maintain focus on some of the other more traditional verticals for the business? Like, what did it create any kind of tension that way?
Yes, absolutely. Permanent jewelry really boosted sales for us, as you might expect. We're not a large company. We're a small company. At that time, my team consisted of me and another gentleman who has since left to go do follow another dream. And so between the two of us, we're really just scrambling to get things done. There really wasn't much time to stop and think and make changes. But to answer your question, yes, we started looking at what percent of our revenues are coming from what industries. And from my perspective, I started looking at comparing the lead generation volume coming from aerospace, for example, in 2023 versus 2022, and that number was not good because we had lost focus. We were still going to aerospace events. We were still, from a PPC side, still targeting those keywords and working that, but our sales team is, they're picking the low-hanging fruit. To sell a welder to NASA or whomever is, a 6-8 month process. They're going to send you samples that need to be welded, and then you have to demonstrate that the weld is solid and it's going to work, and then you have to go through all the approval processes, and once that's done, they'll buy a welder. But that's a difficult sell, whereas on the permanent jewelry side, our salespeople are going to be able to close up a sale over the phone. Here, grab a credit card, I'll ship it out today. Well, there's a lot of emotion in permanent jewelry, right? People are thinking, I'm going to buy this welder and I can start my own business and I can make money, which is true. So that emotion helps drive the sale. And all that Sunstone has to do is make sure we have a quality product, great customer service, and help that person any way we can. So yeah, we were losing focus on these other markets.
So has that kind of equaled out, evened out a little bit now that you've ridden that roller coaster ride up? Some other competitors have shown up. I'm assuming you're still obviously getting quite a significant amount of traction in the permanent jewelry market. But have you been able to even out the focus, do you find, in the last little while?
Well, yes, for two different reasons, maybe three reasons, maybe three and a half. I don't know. We'll see what happens. First reason is we also came out with two new industrial welders that are just, from my perspective, they are sexy and just wonderful machines. The Aeon HF is an HF welder that is probably one of the, it is absolutely the best machine we've ever developed. From the ground up, it's not your grandpa's HF welder. This thing is beautiful. It comes with all of our welders, one of our trademarks is that we always use a digital interface. We do not use knobs that make you look like you're something out of a Soviet Union area. So we're using a digital interface, and this welder is incredible. So when that welder was released last year, that opened up some doors for us in the aerospace side. And then the end of November-ish, December, we released another welder. It's an AC welder, and we redesigned the whole AC welding technology. We just went back and just questioned everything and came up with this beautiful AC welder, and that's opening doors for us too. So that's helping to get us back on track with the industrial side. So that happened. At the same time, we realized that we needed to invest in time and energy to get back into the industrial side. So we are hiring a marketing manager that will focus only on permanent jewelry, and then I'll move over and focus on industrial. That's going to be a stretch for us, and we need to find the right person for that position as well. I don't think it can be a man. I think it needs to be a woman. But, you know, we're an equal opportunity employer, so we'll see what happens. And that's going to help. That's going to really help. I look forward to getting back into the industrial side because we do have some remarkable solutions for that market.
I think there's a lot of power in kind of bringing new products to market, showing that you're still invested in that side of the business, and you know that the engineers that have mattered to you before at Sunstone continue to matter, and you know you're able to focus on those things. I want to ask a question, and I'm not sure how this is going to come across. So
this is why we edit the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. So, Rich, if this sucks, you can get rid of it, but. You know, one of the things about trends is that they don't necessarily last forever, especially when it comes to things related to fashion and popular culture and all of that. How are you thinking about mitigating when permanent jewelry isn't as much of a thing anymore? Like, how are you going to deal with that?
We've definitely seen a surge. At the beginning, everybody wants to get in. Everybody wants to get into permanent jewelry. So we saw that surge. We've ridden that surge. And now we're on the downward side of that surge. But there is a new market, not new, but there's a new realization coming on the beauty professional side. It takes a while for people to figure out, like, well, wait a minute, this might work for my salon. While we've been selling to salon owners and estheticians and those types of people, the vast majority of that market is still unaware of what permanent jewelry is and what it can do for their salon. Imagine what you're doing. Look, I'm not an expert when it comes to the business model for a salon, but if you go into a salon and you get your hair colored, you've got to sit underneath a machine for, I don't know, 15 minutes for that gel to set and for your hair to get colored. During that time, what is the beautician doing? Well, there's an opportunity for them to start talking about, while they're getting their hair done, is to actually put the bracelet on. It's another $80 that they can apply to someone who's like looking at that going, that's exactly what I want. There was just a blurb in People magazine was last week, 2 weeks ago. I can't remember the celebrity who got a permanent bracelet, but there she's in People magazine. You can imagine what that's going to do for on the consumer side. People are going to go, what is this? And they'll want to get one. So we're seeing a resurgence going to happen here probably in the next month. And we're going to take advantage of that. And I really think that there's going to be this S curve in terms of demand. And that's what we're going to ride into the latter part of 2024. Regardless of where it ends up at, we're going to be on the upside of where we were prior to permanent jewelry. And that's because we're leading the market. We're trying to grow the market. The Permanent Jewelry Expo, PJX, is helping the industry come together and gel. We're educating. We're trying to bring everyone up to best practices. And we're also working with the Permanent Jewelry Association to try and get some type of certification involved to, make it more professional. we're just leading in terms of technology. How can you close a jump ring faster, easier, and better? We have a new model coming out here soon that will help people do that. I'm really excited about that. Don't tell anyone about that though. And so we're doing everything we can to lead the market and grow the market. And that's exciting. I feel like Sunstone has really positioned itself as a leader, not just in terms of providing welders, but helping everyone get into the business if they want to, and providing all the support they need, all the tools they need, the training they need, and be a bigger part of the industry rather than just, oh, we just sell welders. We want to be a bigger part of that. And making that happen is changing our brand. So we're moving from Sunstone, the micro welding experts, to Sunstone Perma Jewelry. That's our tagline, just Perma Jewelry. And of course, we're moving away from orange. Now, I love orange, but it may not be the most popular color on that side of the wheel.
I keep wanting to, we're going to have to drag this podcast to an hour and a half if I'm going to ask all my questions. So that's not going to happen, but,
I do think it'd be worthwhile to revisit this.
Yeah. I think it's really fascinating, this notion of we had this early adopters, this early surge, and that's a certain type of buyer that's attracted to us for a certain reason. I think it'll be interesting to see if the kind of the big, thick part of the market that kind of just takes a bit longer to learn and kind of figure it out, but then, you know, is arguably obviously much larger in size. I think it'd be interesting to see how that brand plays. It was occurring to me as I was looking at the name Sunstone. It's like, man, at least the brand name kind of still works. Like, you know, like Sunstone works for that space as a brand name, which that's got to be about the happiest of accidents for you.
Well, yes. I'm glad we didn't have some acronym name like, you know, ACME, Welding Supplies.
which, you know, there was a greater than 50% chance of that being the case. Let's be honest. So, Andy, I guess this is maybe an odd question to ask as we close the show, but I guess, you know, because this ride is still going, and it sounds like it's going to be going for a while, but is there any one thing that so far along that you're like, maybe I would have done that differently, or maybe I would have done that sooner?
Yes. Hindsight's 20/20, right? I mean, you look back and go, man, Andy, you were kind of slow at, you know, realizing that, or Andy, well, how come you haven't done this? I mean, look, I want your audience to know that I am not the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to marketing. I do my best, but and I came from a Fortune 500 company background where I had 14 people working for me, and so we had all our bases covered. And you know, if somebody messed up, they're fired because that was their only job, right? But here I wear a lot of different hats. You know, one minute I'm updating a website, and the next minute I'm writing a blog, and the next minute I'm helping down in the shop ship something to a trade show. I don't know, whatever that is. We have to wear many hats because we're not a large company. So looking back, there are times when I should have pivoted faster, and I'm probably in the back of my mind, somebody was screaming, hey, this isn't the right look. But we were having a lot of fun and a lot of success and building a lot of customer loyalty through the level of customer service that we provide. We're a very friendly company, and we want to help people succeed and get the most they can of our products. But yeah, things that I wish we would have done differently, or wish I would have done differently, you know, back in the day when the surge was coming, I kept looking at Perma Jewelry as, well, this is great. We'll take these 300, 600, sales, and that's great. And here you go. I got to get back to marketing over here. And that was the kind of the feeling was, at least on my end, was, yeah, we'll do this, we'll do this, but our real bread and butter is over here. And looking back, I was totally wrong. Fortunately, I think our CEO had a bigger vision, and he realized that this is going to be something bigger, And I remember we had a pretty intense meeting one time where there was a lot of us in that room, and he just said, "Guys, this is it, and we need to pivot and focus on this for right now." And that's when I said, "Oh, okay." And that's what we did, and we were very successful at that. And you know, the pendulum swings both ways. We need to fill an important position to make sure that we continue to build our permanent jewelry business, continue to build the industry. Remember, we're only talking about the U.S. and Canada. We're getting a sense that things in the European Union, even last week we're at a show in Miami, a lot of people are coming up from South America and like asking questions about this permanent jewelry thing. There are cultures in the world that are much more, that value jewelry more than the U.S. culture, perhaps, right? This can be big for those cultures. And it's just a matter of awareness. So we feel like the rest of the world is going to follow. Australia, New Zealand in particular, seems to have some interest going on right now. It's kind of interesting. So we feel like there's going to be a lot of interest internationally. So having somebody there who understands that market better than I do is going to be very helpful.
Andy, this is a fascinating story. I thank you for sharing it with us. I look forward to continuing to watch it unfold. Wish you all the best with it. This is going to be fun.
Yeah,
thank you.
And I really applaud yourself and your CEO to like see this opportunity and be able to kind of work through that, because you could have ignored that first order. That's just impossible. We can't do 300. This is ridiculous. What are you talking about? And keep going. But you saw the opportunity, you took it, and now you're leading the industry and building it as a thing. And I mean, I never even really thought about just how international expansion could continue to drive this for years and years. So that's really fascinating. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I think it's fun to talk about. Anytime you can talk about marketing, I really enjoy that. I realize that I don't know anything. Any marketer who thinks they know it all is not a good marketer. I try and stay humble and go, what can I learn today? What can I learn from somebody else? And that's why I enjoy podcasts like this, being able to share what little I know. Maybe someone else will go, that's a good idea. And we're here to help each other, except for a competition. I don't want them to watch this at all.
We'll make sure they don't. Thanks so much.
All the best.
Thanks for listening to The Cooler Ring with Carmen Perry and Jeff White. Don't miss a single manufacturing marketing insight. Subscribe now at kulapartners.com/thecoolerring. That's KULA partners.com/thecoolerring.